welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name's Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And I'm back with a solo episode. And this week I want to talk about a few things going on in my world and hopefully some tips that are going to make life a little bit easier, because I know things are tough now. We've gone into second lockdown. I'm back living on my own. I am fine. I've got a bubble. I've set myself a little motivational mindsets with it only being, fingers crossed, a month. I've got a few things that I'm aiming towards, which I'll go into a little bit of detail, but I'm trying to be as positive as possible, even on days where I feel like it's a bit tough. Social Chain hasn't really changed too much. The office is still open and people can go in there as a bit of respite from working from home. The office is big enough to allow for safe social distancing measures to be in place. We've had a full deep clean of the office and we're continuing to do shoots safely, of course. Everyone's got to wear gloves and masks. We've reduced the size of the team that goes on shoots just to protect them. And we've been figuring out ways of working, but everything seems fine from a Social Chain perspective. I'm not sure how long this will last, though. That's the thing. We don't know how long that this lockdown's going to go on for. And I'm also not trying to think about that either. I'm trying to just take each day as it comes, understand that we're doing it for the greater good, and know that we are doing all we can to help protect our loved ones. With that in mind, I'm definitely approaching it differently to the way that I approached the first one. I think the first one, because we had no sort of end in sight, there was no light at the end of the tunnel, and it was so unknown that I really struggled at times. This one, I'm trying my best to have a bit more positive mindset. I'm trying to have goals. I'm trying to do a fitness program. So me and my friend from her house and from my house have sat each other a fitness challenge on the Nike training app. We're past 1 week in and it's going well so far. I'm trying to see my PT virtually. I'm trying to get out into the lovely autumn air. So I'm trying to look at it completely differently to last time. I am missing the sunshine though. I think the dark nights and early dark mornings is a bit more of a challenge. And not being able to catch a tan while I'm working from home has definitely hit me differently. So I know people are going to be struggling with low mood and anxiety right now. And it feels like we've taken one step forward and two steps back. So I want to use this podcast as a way to find happiness. And I'm going to explore four ways that we can find that happiness over the second lockdown, each vastly different from the other. I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to talk about how I will or won't be applying each of these to my life right now. And I'm going to be sharing some thoughts on how you can do the same over lockdown. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of I Shouldn't Say This, But. The first theory that I'm going to explore is actually something that's really close to my heart, and I'm going to explain to you why. It's the Japanese theory of ikigai, and it's a concept to improve your life, and it's a term that embodies the idea of happiness in living. It's a combination of the Japanese words iki, which translates to life, and gai, which is used to describe value or worth, originating from the word shell, which in Japanese culture back in the day were deemed valuable objects. Essentially, it's the reason why you get up in the morning. It allows you to look forward to the future, even if you're feeling a little bit miserable right now. I know it feels like there's no end in sight and we're going through a period of indefinite uncertainty. So it's important that we focus on the future and the fact that there's definitely going to be better times ahead. In the West, the concept of ikigai is often associated with a Venn diagram of four overlapping qualities. And these are what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what you can be paid for. So the little story I've got about ikigai is when I was asked to do my presentation at Social Chain for the role that turned out to be the managing director, I talked about ikigai. And the reason that I talked about it is when I first started work, when I was fresh out of uni on my grad scheme, I absolutely loved my job. Every day I used to get up and I used to love going into work. There was never a day that I really struggled. I didn't really understand it when people said that they didn't want to go in on a Monday I mean, it was hard and I was learning lots, but I still really, really had my reason for getting out of bed in the morning. And that's because I enjoyed what I was doing and I was learning, and I actually tapped into all of my values now looking back at it. And what I presented when I did my social chain interview is that I want everyone in social chain to have their ikigai, to understand what they love, understand what they're good at, understand how we can help the world and what they can get paid for. So it's something that is very close to my heart, and it's something that I've really invested time in understanding. The actual Japanese part of ikigai and the actual root of it is all about finding something that you find your flow in. It's like a flow state, and it's quite complex, and I've not managed to crack what my ikigai is from a Japanese perspective. But just to break it down a little bit, that I can hopefully help you understand this concept a little bit more. So I've really thought about what I love and what I'm good at. So I love people. I love helping people. I'm quite good at understanding numbers and P&L, although the finance director might laugh at that. And I love being able to solve a problem. I'm good at solving problems. The world needs more support and help, which is what the podcast's for. And I get paid for pretty much doing those things. So I get paid for helping people and I get paid for solving problems. So I am paid to be a leader and inspire and help others. And that pretty much is the driving force behind why I do what I do and why I do this podcast. So I suppose that's my ikigai. Curiosity is the key with it. So follow your intuition and be curious. The problem for so many is that they stop being curious about new experiences as they assume responsibilities and build routines. You get stuck in a rut and you feel like you've lost your sense of purpose. An example is Steve Jobs' curiosity for typefaces, which led him to attend a seemingly useless class on typography and to develop his design sensibility. This sensibility became an essential part of Apple computers and the Apple core differentiator in the market. And according to the theory of ikigai, our intuition and curiosity are very powerful internal compasses which help us to connect with our ikigai. So being curious is really important. How can you apply this to your life during the second lockdown? We are all stuck inside more, so it's a great opportunity to start pursuing your curiosities. So for example, if you enjoy art, you can buy some paint. Like, I've bought paint by numbers the first time around. I might actually finish it this time. See if you can turn your passion into something that can be paid for. Set up a side hustle art business, for example, if you're into art. So when asking what the world needs, the answer could be donating a proportion of the profits of that art to a charity. Or when thinking about what the world needs, maybe it's organizing your house. That could be something that you want to do and you're curious about, and getting your house in order, and then using those things that you might not need anymore to help support food banks, for example. So there are opportunities now we're inside to be able to really explore those curiosities, things that we would like to do, things that we would like to learn. And for me, I think thinking of it like that as an opportunity we don't get very often to really focus is a good positive way of thinking about it. It could be more difficult though, because we're stuck inside and we're limited to the passions that we can pursue. But if you work out that your current job isn't making you happy, it's a difficult time to try and find a new one. And I know that because there's no stability out there. But you can put in a plan of how you'd like to explore other avenues when the lockdown is once lifted, and take this time to work out a roadmap of how you get there. Take that time to start learning about this new role. I've got a great podcast coming up. When you listen to Johan's podcast, you'll understand what I'm talking about, because he talked about how he spent his downtime learning about new skills for his future career. So if you decide what career you want, you've got that time while you're at home. Research actually suggests that having ikigai helps you to live longer. In 2017, scientists conducted research in a town in Kyoto, which has a population that has three times more residents over the age of 100 compared to the average of the rest of the country. They wanted to know what made these elderly people happy and what they all had in common. So followed seven people in the late 90s and early 100s around doing blood tests and other health checkups. They found that all seven people had exceptionally high figures of DHEA
a hormone that many believe to be the miracle longevity hormone. They also found out all of them had a hobby that they practiced every day. One woman was seen spending a few hours every day carving Japanese traditional masks. Another man painted. Another went fishing daily. And the research suggested that having one thing that keeps you interested, focused, and gives you a sense of satisfaction in your life may actually boost your youth DHEA hormone, leading to a longer and happier life. Also, there's an island south of mainland Japan, which is home to the highest ratios of centenarians to population, and it's the hotbed of the ikigai ideology. There is a feeling that the concept of ikigai has been skewed by the West. Some authors claim that ikigai can't be illustrated in a Venn diagram, that it's not a sweet spot of doing something you love, something you're good at, the world needs, and something that you can be paid for. Instead, it's a spectrum where you can find your ikigai in the realm of small things. It's the practice of a hobby, in your roles and your relationships, and by living your values, which I think is where I'm more connected to ikigai. I find it hard to find one thing that touches all of those aspects in the Venn diagram. But if you follow the westernized concept of ikigai, or what some have said is a slightly different concept, the end goal is exactly the same: to work out what makes your life worthwhile by following your curiosity and listening to your feelings. And I think that, again, it's all about that positive attitude, finding something that brings you real joy that you can practice over and over again, get better at, continue at. And I think, as I say, it's something that I would love for everyone to have, is that sense of wanting to get out of bed in the morning. And I'd love to know from you guys what it is that brings you that joy and what you think would be your ikigai. And you can see why it would be a way to find happiness and worth. The second theory that I'm going to touch on is the happiness equation by Mo Gaudat, the former chief business officer at Google X. So Mo was miserable for several years in his 20s and 30s, despite his high-flying job. He was a trader in the Dubai stock market, making a lot of money, and owned a huge house and a big car. Whatever he bought, it wasn't ever big enough. It took him 7 years to create the equation, trying to pin down the source of his happiness or unhappiness, and simply found that we're happy when life goes our way. A couple of years later, he put it to the test when his 21-year-old son died unexpectedly in what should have been a routine operation. So what is the equation? It's a simple survival mechanism that our brains use all the time to compare events to expectations to make sure that we're safe. So the equation is: your happiness is equal to or greater than the difference between the events in your life and the expectation of how life should behave. So an example: in Manchester, I expect it to rain. It always rains. If it rains, I wouldn't feel disappointed because it happens quite often. And if it doesn't, then I feel happy because it's beat my expectations. The opposite is also true. If I really wanted the weekend to be sunny and hot so I can enjoy a lockdown walk, if it rains, I'd be disappointed. The rain on its own is not capable of making me happy or unhappy. It's the expectation of how the weather will be that will make me happy or unhappy. And humans are obviously quite like that. You put your mind to something and expect a scenario to go a certain way, and that can have a real impact on your happiness. He's then developed this theory further. And the reason that we're often unhappy is because we're trained to look at the events of our life in a way that isn't truthful. And Mo's developed a 675 model that states there are six illusions that blur our view of the real world. So thought, believing that you are your thoughts. Self, believing that you're your body, your emotions, your beliefs, name, achievements, family, or possessions. Knowledge, time, which is thinking too much about the past or the future. Control and fear. And next, there are seven blind spots that make us miss the truth when we look at life. So filtering, assuming, hunting for better, memories, labels, emotions, and exaggerating. When we factor these into the equation, it's often how we see life which blurs what those events actually mean. And according to Mo, fixing the six and the seven gets you to remove the reason for your unhappiness. And when you do that long enough, you start to realize that it's silly because life mostly meets our expectations. And finally, there are five truths we need to accept: that now is real, that change is real, that love is real, that death is real. Grand design, the belief that nothing is random and life generally follows patterns, rules or science. So I do believe that everything happens for a reason. I don't know if it's some sort of like spiritual thing, but everything seems to always work out the best thing for me. I've not really thought of it in these terms before starting to research for this podcast. Considering the five truths, even if life events are harsh, they're not unexpected because they're simple truths. So how do you apply this to lockdown? The first thing, which I think is so important right now, is acceptance. It's accepting that things are the way that they are right now. And there's just nothing you can do about it. It's not worrying about the things you can't control. That's why I'm talking about before when I mentioned I don't know how long it's going to last. It's because I'm trying not to think like that. I'm trying to think about what's today going to bring, because I want to accept what's going on right now. And telling myself that there's nothing is going to go back to normal for a while, and trying to adjust to this new reality as best as I can will make things much easier. The cons, it means you have really low expectations. The maths of the equation and our actual experience in life proves that if you have low expectations, you're mostly going to be happy if you don't expect life to give you much. And I'm not sure if that is really a happy way to live, just having really low expectations. And I think positivity is now vital to get us through the next few weeks. So Mo says that happiness is a choice. It's not a coincidence and it's entirely your responsibility. But it's not always the case for people with mental illness. And having been through it myself, knowing that you can't always control what you're feeling and what the way your mind works, it's pretty hard to fully accept that. But I do like the aspect of living in the now and focusing on the things that you can control and letting go of the things that probably are inevitable with life, because then you're not spending your time worrying about things that inevitably will happen at some point. Ways that I will probably use this in my lockdown life is really think about the now. Now is real. Really concentrate on this moment, this second. The change is going to change again, even though we don't know how it's going to change. Things are going to change, and really focus on my relationships and making the most out of those. I'm trying to think if I've ever really had problems with expectation. I think sometimes I expect things of people because I get dead giddy and I get a bit excited about situations that might happen. And then when they don't happen exactly to the way that I want, then I sometimes let that expectation make me unhappy. So I've learned over time to really just, as I say, live with the moment and enjoy the moment for what it is, rather than getting upset that something might have not gone the way that I envisaged it. But yeah, I am a worrier, so it's been something that I've been working on, trying to not worry all the time about things I can't control. The third theory I want to talk about now is setting vague happiness goals. In 2018, a psychologist from the University of Minnesota did some research into how goal setting can affect your happiness. They began by questioning whether the traditional approach to goals setting, such as SMART goals, could be limiting the level of happiness for people. And while this approach may be effective in setting work, exercise, or weight loss goals, the research has found that this may not be as beneficial when happiness is the goal. In this area of life, general goals are better because people will be open to experiencing a broader range of positive emotions. They did a number of experiments to prove this hypothesis. And what does this mean for lockdown number two? So you don't say, I'm going to run 5K in under 25 minutes. But again, this is all expectations versus reality. So you're not going to say you're going to run 5K in under 25 minutes by the start of December, so I feel healthier. You're going to say, I'm going to do more exercise, because you're setting your expectations lower. Setting intrinsic goals depends on satisfying your own psychological needs rather than relying on the approval of others. So example, self-acceptance, forming social connections and studying. Extrinsic goals are focused on attaining rewards and or praise from others, which I'm really bad at. I get that. I do that all the time. I like to get praised. Research says that intrinsic goals lead to greater happiness because in the pursuit of these goals, people have positive experiences along the way that support their happiness. Now is not the time to be putting pressure on yourself. We are all human. We're all time pressured. and also light pressured with the time of day. Result-dependent goals aren't wise right now, because inevitably we're going to have some days where we feel more up to doing things than others, and then you're going to feel like you're not fulfilling your goals. So happiness is such a complex emotion. We don't want to be honing it in on specific positive emotions to feel happy. SMART goals might work for some, they might work better, or goals that are quantifiable. In terms of me and my mindset for this lockdown, I have set myself little goals, but nothing with an actual end point. So yes, I'm doing this 6-week fitness thing, but that's because what I've decided in this 4 weeks is that I'm going to exercise more to make myself sleep better, to make myself feel like I'm more in control, and to help clear my mind. I'm not doing it with a goal in mind. And I think that is one of the reasons, and I'm going to admit it now, I shouldn't say this, but I've dropped out of Couch to 5K. And I think that's because I'd set myself this target of being able to run 5K in under 30 minutes. And that has stopped me from actually doing it because I've just got frustrated with myself. So I've given up. So yeah, my goals for this time are to do a bit more reading. I really enjoyed that in the first lockdown, was to listen to audiobooks. I've got one door to paint in the house, and once I've done that, my house is pretty much done. So that's my other thing that I want to do. But I'm not putting time frames on it. I'm just going to do it when I feel like it. Make sure I'm getting enough rest, because I realise how much it takes out of me at the moment being here. I'm working from home and there's just a lot of pressure. So making sure they're my goals, looking after myself, learning as much as I can through books, and then also getting my exercise up. The fourth theory that I'm going to talk through is the happiness chemicals and how to hack them, or dopamine if you want to be specific. So there are four chemicals in the brain that are considered as happiness chemicals: dopamine, which is the reward chemical, oxytocin, which is the love hormone, serotonin, the mood booster, and endorphin, the painkiller. There are different tricks that you can do to help hack these chemicals. So for dopamine reward, you can complete a task, you can do an act of self-care, eating food that you like and celebrating a little win. For oxytocin, the hacks are playing with a dog, playing with a baby, holding hands, hugging, and giving someone a compliment. They're all simple things that you can do right now. Serotonin mood is meditating, running, sunshine, walking nature, a swim or a cycle. And endorphin, which is the painkiller, which is a laughing exercise, watching comedy, eating dark chocolate, and exercise. So you'll notice that there's no smartphones, there's no apps, there's nothing on that list. It's all things that you can do right now. An important one to consider is sunshine, going out for a walk on your lunch break, which now is like the most important. So, or getting up in the morning and going out in the sun. It doesn't just release serotonin, but it also improves the release of melatonin, which helps you sleep better at night, which is useful when your brain's overloaded because you're worrying a lot, which is definitely where I'm at right now. Another exercise you should consider is journaling, and it's something that I have explored but need to really look into. And a calmer amygdala means a happier, less anxious you. For me, I'm definitely going to try those. I do need to get out more in the day. I'm guilty of just getting up in the morning and getting on with the work. And then by the time it gets to like 4 or 5 o'clock, it's dark and I don't want to go out on my own. But yeah, I need to start doing that. So there's lots of things there. I will make sure that this gets shared on my Instagram as well. I'll share it on my Instagram because I think it's really important that you can see those simple things that you can save and use that will help hack the happiness chemicals. So they're my four tips of how to make yourself happy. There are a few theories there that you can explore a little bit more that might help you get through this difficult time. I think the thing for me is definitely going to be hacking my brain a little bit and using those little tips to make myself feel better in a number of different areas across the brain. I mentioned that in lockdown, I'm going to be setting myself little tasks and little things that I want to do. Definitely want to make sure that I'm looking after myself. Drinking more water is one, because I'm definitely not drinking enough. So yeah, I'm focusing on myself really. I'm going to try and get myself myself all fit and healthy for Christmas, and then I'm going to undo it all by the time that I get to go to my mum and dad's and eat and drink myself silly. It feels different in that I'm more accepting of the process this time than I was last time, and I'm trying to, as I say, be more positive. And I know that it's hard, and I know just getting through these 4 weeks is going to be a big thing for a lot of people, but I really hope that you could take one of these things and it will really help your mindset. Because the one piece of advice that I'd give people who are struggling right now is really, really try as much as you can to change your mindset. And if you need me, you can always reach out. Just drop me a message and I will be on hand to help. But reframing your mindset into knowing that this is only for a short period of time. We've got through it before. We will get through it again. Look at the positives. Look at the things you enjoyed from the last lockdown. And really double down on those. And we're all in it together. I saw a great quote, is that we're all in the same sea, but we're all in different boats. The best way of putting it, everyone is dealing with it differently. So be kind to one another, look after each other, and I'm here if you need me. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you find that useful. Tune in next week because I have the amazing Johan from Laced, which is an incredible sneakers trading company, but he's got a brilliant background in different parts of media and marketing. And it's super fascinating to just listen to him talk about his journey. So tune in next week and I will see you very soon.